Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. This is, as you know, the only show that actually talks about the only solution to get the federal government into compliance with the Constitution. We talk about a lot of different things, whether they be myopic or topical, or whether they be in a grand scheme. Bottom line, the federal government has very limited roles, responsibilities, and powers delegated to it via the Constitution. So in other words, as I always tell you, there's this huge Leviathan, and we've been living under tyranny for well over a century and a half. So with that, the listen number, if you cannot stream this show, then the listen line numbers are 605-562-4209 or 605-313-0599. Now, today we're going to be covering more tyranny that we're living under because one can dedicate hours of the day of all the different tyranny and the news and events, that are occurring on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, and so forth, and still not be able to really get into focusing on the solution. But I believe in marketing, and I believe that if you listen to the show long enough, we kind of go over the premise of Republic Review or the thesis, how it formed, and the constitutional concept of where that came from. I also get into supporting documents. We read a lot out of the ratification debates. And the reason why, and I'll just reemphasize this again, if the Constitution is a contract and in the ratification process or the acceptance process of the contract, the stakeholders actually had testimony bore to them, and the stakeholders being the states, those who were representatives by the people, because these people were elected to be a part of the ratification debates to represent the state, actually represent the people for the state. And bottom line, those who bore testimony, who were delegates at the Constitution and or who helped provide different perspectives of what the Constitution means line by line, that means that the ratification debates are testimony and or actual amendments to the Constitution, because in contract negotiations, when the parties, ask about what does this line mean, and those who wrote the Constitution in selling, getting you to accept the contract, says this is what this means. That definition is legally binding, period. That is the concept of contract law. And it has matured a lot. But even in 1829, Madison admitted, and he told the people that wanted his notes on the Constitutional Convention, he clearly stated it doesn't matter what his notes were or what anybody perceived the Constitution to be. What mattered is how the states understood it at the time of ratification, because that's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that is legally binding. And because it was handled so ambiguously, they did a really crappy job in holding the line. Very specifically, the Electoral College. The Electoral College was not defined as a winner-take-all. It was a part of the Republican form of government. The elector was to represent a congressional district. And I don't know how the states divvy up for the Senate. I mean, that was kind of, I believe, left up to the legislatures, because the legislatures chose the two senators. But the people chose who they wanted. And so, to be very clear, it is repugnant to Republican form of government to consider winner takes all with the party or winner takes all with a popular vote. That is disenfranchising an entire congressional district, which today is like almost 1 million people. and this concept of a popular vote for electoral college is repugnant to a Republican form of government. It is also repugnant to Article 1, Section 10, Subsection 1 of the Constitution, where states are not allowed to enter into compacts with each other, with foreign entities, or what have you. So with that, let me... It's really easy for me to start lecturing and going down these rat holes, so I apologize. Let's get on with the rest of my obligatory start off here. You know, we need help. You know, we would be very honored to have you become a part of the team. There's different ways you can become a part of the team or different ways you can help. We have the Red State Coffee. I would ask that if you drink coffee, try Red State Coffee. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, click on the link, it'll take you to eBay. And the company that you're buying this from is a top-notch patriotic company. They also provide, they have a coffee out there for Gold Star families, and the proceeds goes to helping Gold Star families during the holidays. So these guys are very, very patriotic. So it's what you're actually spending the money on, the proceeds that will come to us as well as them, or you're really helping out two awesome causes. I can't think of a more awesome cause than preserving the Constitution for our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and for our entire posterity for centuries. We also have the crowdfunding with GoFundMe. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will find the link to the GoFundMe Reclaiming the Republic campaign, and you can contribute directly right there. We need support. I travel a lot out to Wyoming, and I'm subsidizing all of this, and I'm hoping that you can help in just the travel costs. And that's all we're looking for, even though we need about $8 million for marketing. And as you understand, marketing is very important. We have to put it in perspective of why you have to get involved. We have to sell you on this concept. And so, you know, the best way to do that is to provide different types of tactics. Now, we can't get everybody to listen to the show, so we have to buy marketing out there to get people hooked or to get people intrigued enough to actually look into Republic Review and this concept. So that's one way you can get involved. That's a few ways you can get involved. But another way that we really need you to get involved is to send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And if you do that and let us know what you can do, if you've got a computer, a phone, and you're willing to actually lead in your county, your state, or what have you, by all means, we've already got some people in several states, please let us know. What we want to do is help you actually take a leadership role. So info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Two more things. You need to get involved with the Constitution Club. They actually have an awesome, and it's a kind of shared between Douglas Gibbs, myself, and Keith Broders, this awesome concept of rescinding the 17th Amendment. We can actually do that. We can actually rescind it. We don't have to repeal it. And so if you want to learn more about that, the Constitution Club is the agency that is working on trying to do that, as well as a lot of other really good things. And another organization out there that I think if you want to displace the swamp really quickly, all you've got to do is call for your state to amend the Madison Amendment that was part of the Bill of Rights that never got amended. The organization doing that is Our First Right. So go to ourfirstright.org and you will be there. So... And those links are on our reclaimingtherepublic.org website. So by all means, go dig in and I will I'll help you become the champion you want to be, period. So Constitution Day is coming up, and it seems like a dealership in Alabama has kind of ran with my idea, but they're running with Independence Day, not Constitution Day. Anybody living in Alabama, you may want to contact this dealership, because what they're doing is they're giving away a gun, a Bible, and a flag if you go in and buy a car from them on, you know, during the 4th of July weekend, I believe. So check it out. I mean, why not get involved in your local community and talk to dealerships? It would be great if that was an American car dealer dealership, but even if it's a foreign car dealer dealership, then, you know, at least they're trying to promote the Constitution. So get out and try to get some businesses to help promote awareness of the Constitution. Another way you can actually get kickstarting some good idea of how to get your local awareness up on the Constitution is celebrating your state's birthday when it became a state in the Union. Why? Why is that important? That's the day your state actually became a stakeholder in the compact. You became an equal participant in the contact in the compact, as well as an overlord, if you want to call it that, but actually a stakeholder that has oversight over the Constitution. That's why all 50 states have equal power to call upon the federal government into compliance. And if you want to learn about that, you want to understand that, then you'll probably need to go through some of our past podcasts or wait until we get into the details once again. But actually, all those details are available on reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on the homepage. If you read through the bullets, we have the argument that supports the academic argument that supports Republic Review, as well as the process. How does that process work? And we even have the model. So you can get all the details you want and need. You don't necessarily have to listen to all the podcasts, but we would highly recommend you do, because we do cover a lot of educational material. So with that, as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. So we'll be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
You know, I really hate using cheesy cliches, but there's one cheesy cliche that, you know, that I think it goes without saying. The Constitution is the solution. And that kind of clarifies why we need to raise constitutional awareness any way we possibly can. We definitely want to use Constitution Day, which is September 17th, or that whole week. Or we want to, you know, leverage your state's birthday. I know Washington State birthday is in a conundrum because it's November 11th. What happens on November 11th? That's Veterans Day. Well, I think that Washington can celebrate Veterans Day on a different day because I think the Constitution is far more important than Veterans Day. I will tell you, any veteran that's given their ultimate life understands the magnitude and the importance of liberty and what that document means, and that's why they gave that ultimate sacrifice. I understand it's important to recognize those who are in the service of their country, but I think it is far more important to understand the one document that actually guarantees individual liberty and individual sovereignty for all citizens in the United States. Now, we got to fix some things, but that's okay. That's what the states need to do. That's the state's job to do it. It's not mine. It's not yours. And who in the state? A lot of people like to think it's the people itself, but actually it is our sovereigns. Our sovereigns are our state legislators. Sovereigns are those who can create the laws that we have delegated to them to control us, and that's why constitutions at the state level is so critical and important. You'd probably find that the constitutions in the states are probably being violated significantly. People are bypassing the constitutions as often as they possibly can. But let me get into, and let me kind of close, because we were talking about drag queen reading at the library and an event where a Baptist pastor up in Spokane was arrested. And the backstory to this is that there was a real strong police presence, and that's why he was arrested. But it wasn't just a presence out on the streets, because bottom line, what was happening was they were allowing the perverts, those who were supporting these adult sexual predators, access to the children. And those people that were providing that access were allowed to protest right in front of the library. Those who were protesting that event were forced to be on the other side. So the Baptist minister didn't follow the law when he was told. And actually, I'm going to tell you, the Constitution does not give a citizen a right to protest out in the streets. You don't have that right. It's not in the Constitution. It has been a misinterpretation. And as a matter of fact, if you read the ratification debates, protests, civil unrest, riots, and those types of things are unconstitutional. And that was the intent of having the militia. The militia was supposed to quell those types of events to ensure the public order, because public order is paramount in a society of liberty. Because when you start affecting an individual's ability to conduct commerce, conduct business, because you shut them down with protest, you're violating their civil rights. And so our rights end where another person's rights begin, and everybody has a right to traverse the streets for the public use, as well as conduct business along those streets and so forth. That's why the framers never intended for protest to actually be a sanctioned thing and a protected thing. But anyway, back to the strong police presence, there were snipers on rooftops as the police believed that both sides would be armed, but actually no civilians showed up with open carry gun weapons, because in Washington state, you can open carry. It's a constitutional right, and you can do it, but there are certain places that they try to deny you that, but it is a constitutional right. But let me move on. If you do not get G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, I'm just trying to give you reasons why. When you get his Need to Know News, you will be seeing a lot of different content that, as far as I'm concerned, should be motivating you to getting involved. When you start hearing some of these stories, you'll be going, oh my gosh, why am I not getting involved in this? This is just insane. Well, let me lead off with Project Veritas. You've probably heard of them. These are the guys, and I forget the kid's name, but these were the people that exposed Planned Parenthood and how they were helping people, a prostitute and a pimp, if you remember that whole story, where this gal was helping them in how to game the system, getting on welfare and all these other things. I'm going, how corrupt is Planned Parenthood? Anyway, Project Veritas also got, you know, the fetal tissues and the body parts and so forth. They exposed that. They also exposed the voter fraud a couple of years back on how they were conducting voter fraud by busing into other states and traversing state lines, going into districts that were quote unquote friendly to allow these people to vote. And anyway, so if you look at what Project Veritas has been up to now, they've actually exposed Google and their intentions of artificial intelligence. This new Project Veritas reveals that Google is programming its machine learning / artificial intelligence algorithms to favor of its social justice agenda. In other words, it's trying to promote very specific sentiments, trends, and so forth to get you to be persuaded to voting for their, what they call the social justice agenda or the communist agenda. Because if you understand social justice is tantamount to communism. An insider revealed internal documents exposing machine learning fairness that filters content and denies users access to information. Google makes editorial news decisions and excludes conservative sources. So you can't read that stuff. That's why I tell you, use DuckDuckGo for your search engine and for, you know, almost anything you possibly can instead of using Google. Because Google is designed to try to control what you're seeing and ensuring that you have a level of filtering so that you don't get the truth. Now, Jen Janai is the head of responsible innovation at Google, and she determines ethics for machine learning or artificial intelligence. She said that the company has been working since 2016 to make sure they are ready for the 2020 election to prevent the next Trump situation, indicating that Google is meddling with information that affects elections. And so there you go, folks. I mean, they're using artificial intelligence already in China to a severe degree, as well as in Europe. And they're actually using it to determine, I've read this before, they're using it to determine whether you're lying or not at custom inspections and so forth. But the additional story in the news that is probably a little bit lower down or deeper into the newspaper is almost 100 Google employees have petitioned the San Francisco Pride's board of directors to exclude the company from marching in and sponsoring the parade. They're basically saying, hey, this homosexual pride in San Francisco march that they have annually or what have you, they're asking that they don't allow Google to sponsor and or, you know, march in the parade. And quote, whenever we press for change, we are told only that the company will take a hard look at these policies, quote unquote. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to leverage the Pride Parade in not allowing Google to pay for it. I mean, if you understand what they're asking for, there's no way that the Pride, whoever runs that, is going to say, yeah, we don't want people to pay for our parade. We'll have to come up with funds somewhere else. Are you kidding? It's all about the Benjamins, buddies. And apparently these activists think, and this is how hardwired they think. They think that the ends justify the means, that we need to do it without the money if necessary, because they're not happy with what Google is doing. Now, in the backstory of what's going on, because it's the Supreme Court season, as you know, it kind of kicks off at the late spring, early summer, the justices are out to tackle supposedly an important agency deference question. Although it may sound, you know, not so, you know, juicy or dry, the case could be one of the most consequential cases of this term, because the justices will decide whether to overrule a line of cases instructing courts to defer to agencies' interpretations of its own regulations, a doctrine sometimes known as ars difference. the Supreme Court's ruling could have a significant impact far beyond veterans benefits, from the environment to immigration, and it could also shed more light on when and whether the justices are willing to overrule their prior cases. So if you understand, what happens is, as you know, the Congress makes laws, legislators, sovereigns make laws at the state level and at the federal level. And what happens is that they create these regulatory agencies, and they kind of create this general law, and then they point to the regulations created by the bureaucrats. In other words, that's representation, or those are regulations without representation, because what happens is bureaucrats start making laws and fine-tuning laws and have a greater impact on the laws than actually the legislatures do. And that is, it flies in the face of republicanism. But we'll get more into this one topic when we get back. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so what's really going on here, folks, is that when the legislatures, regardless of what level, creates the law, like I was saying, then the court has allowed, historically, has allowed these agencies to interpret what the law means and what they can do and what they can't do. And the court has been accepting these interpretations because these agencies have experts far beyond the expertise of the court. And so I have a problem with that. And as a matter of fact, there's nothing in the Constitution that allows this level of bureaucracy outside of the legislative branch. Here's the problem. The fact is that they're creating bureaucracies that have no constitutional basis. The only type of laws Congress and your state government can pass are laws that are within the framework of the delegated powers within that Constitution. You got to understand, your Constitution for your state, as well as the U.S. Constitution, are enumerated constitutions. In other words, let's put it in a power of attorney perspective. You have a general power of attorney, and you have a specific power of attorney. We have specific constitutions, and then we have general constitutions. Is the U.S. Constitution and your state constitution a general constitution that gives, you know, the federal government and your state government general powers to do whatever they feel necessary and proper and that they can do anything they want to? No. We have specific constitutions or what they called enumerated constitutions, and they can only make laws that are in pursuant to those powers delegated. Just today, I had a conversation regarding the Energy Department, and I am here to tell you that the Energy Department is not a delegated and or an enumerated power within the U.S. Constitution. It may not even be within your state constitution. And yet, we have all sorts of government agencies, bureaucracies, and so forth that are controlling this, that it boggles the mind in just this one myopic role, responsibility, and power. So bottom line, the courts may be undoing some of this that might be nice, but here's the thing. They're undoing the agencies being able to drive what is legal or not. What the court should be doing is the court should be recognizing the fact that, oh, this agency is not an enumerated power and you have no jurisdiction, you have no authority, you need to be shut down. That's what the court's supposed to be doing, according to John Marshall in the Virginia ratification debates. He says, if it is not an enumerated power, the government has no jurisdiction over it, and therefore the court should identify that role, responsibility, or power, or law, null and void. Pretty simple, folks. We have a very specific constitution. We do not have this huge general constitution. G. Edward Griffin also points out that there's this case that has just recently settled. And in 2015, Rachel Brunow, the mother of a seven-week-old infant, sent her nanny home at 4 a.m. when the baby was crying. Her newborn son had a serious skull fracture and had emergency surgery. The hospital called Child Protective Services to investigate for child abuse. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office and CPS removed Bruno's other son, who was 20 months old, from his grandmother's house without a warrant. While Bruno's oldest son was in the county's custody, a social worker asked that the child be subjected to vaccinations in direct contravention to his father's demand to be present for any medical procedure. Bruno's lawyer reported that the police, the hospital, and the CPS all violated numerous constitutional amendments, laws, policies, and procedures, and Rachel Bruno has reportedly won settlements from these different agencies. Folks, they are working right now at the state level to close these gaps, to take away your rights as parents. The problem is that they probably don't in their constitution have the authority to do that. Unfortunately, they can amend the constitution way too easily, and it is not within the concepts of a republican form of government. In other words, most state constitutions are amended by a majority of the population. What kind of government is that? That's a democracy. What it should require is a majority of the representation of the sub-element of governments within the republic. See, every state's a republic. That means Montana. That means Washington, California, or even Rhode Island, this little teeny state, has counties. And those counties are the seats of government, which are the sub-elements of that republic. Just like within the United States, the states are the sub-element of government. That's why they have capitals. That's why states have, or I should say counties have, a seat of government. That's where you have sovereigns. You have county commissioners, supervisors, or what have you. Long story short, right now, the way the Constitution should be amended is by a majority of the counties, not a majority of the people. Because it was never designed and it was repugnant to Republican forms of government to allow population centers to dictate what was to be done within the state. Because the needs of the state have very disparate needs and very disparate interests. You've got the mountainous areas, you've got coastal areas, you've got desert areas, forest areas. They all have different aspects and different interests. And so we have really gotten away from the original intent of republicanism and why we have bicameral legislative bodies. Nobody can even answer why a state has bicameral legislative bodies when they're all representatives of the people. No, the senators are supposed to be representatives of the county. And the representatives in the House should be representing the people of the county and apportioned by the amount of population, just like in the U.S. Congress. So, in other words, every county should have at least one representative in the House and should have one senator that represents them at least. Some states have two. But this would get away from, and this would force states like California, who is having 10 counties way out in the rural districts represented by one senator and one representative. Are you kidding me? How unjust is that? And these counties have just the same interests in the economic needs as well as other factors with government. And we've completely lost that. But the fact of the matter is that the constitutions currently are designed by forms of democracy, which is violating Article 1, Section 4 of the Constitution. Another story out there, Merrill Lynch and their commodities, I think incorporated, MLCI, a global commodities trading business, was fined a paltry $25 million to resolve the government's investigation into a scheme that ran from 2008 to 2014 by MLCI, precious metal traders who misled the market for precious metal futures contracts. And they traded on the COMEX, which is the Commodity Exchange Incorporation. MLCI admitted its precious metal traders deceived other market participants thousands of times by injecting false and misleading information into the precious metals futures market. No one will face prison time as a non-prosecution agreement was signed by the government agencies to cater to the banks. But they did admit that they were manipulating information and driving and basically trying to pocket a lot of money. Now, here's the thing. Technically, the government doesn't have any role, responsibility, or power over commodities. Show me in the Constitution where they have this delegated power to control commodities or exchange systems or what have you. This is another overreach. And supposedly people think it's good. I would say that if you want to make a good, clean, free market, get government out of the way. And if the players don't, if the players aren't honest and above board, then they will have problems getting people to invest. It'll only be honor amongst thieves. And then it'll finally be shut down and the exchange system would not be able to function. But that should be left to state governments. State governments are the ones that should be regulating these commodities, exchanges, and so forth. Here's another interesting thing, and I'm going to disagree with G. Edward Griffin on this one. A poll from Hill Harris X revealed that Americans from all parties are against going to war with Iran. 58% of the voters polled preferred a non-military response to Iran's shooting down of a U.S. spy drone. 49% said they wanted a negotiated end to the recent hostilities, while 9% said that Trump should take no action. 9%. That's a very small percentage of people that said that Trump should take no action. A large number of participants said that they were unsure of what responses, about 19%, wanted by the government. Older participants aged 65 and older in the poll were the age group most adverse to going to war with Iran. Interesting. Like, I guess they thought that they would be still in the draft age. I don't know, because that's the baby boomers and older, right? Anyway, here's my problem with this. Whenever they talk about and whenever they go into the details of a poll, they don't tell you where that poll is being administered. Are they administering that poll in all 50 states? 9 times out of 10, they administer polls in blue states. And so the data is tainted because it is towards the blue paradigm. Instead, I bet you if you started doing all the polls in Wyoming, the Dakotas, Montana, Nebraska, and so forth, I think the polls would look a lot different. We'll be right back. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So you got to remember that when they're doing polls, 9 times out of 10, they don't have the money to go out to these really rural states, these flyover states. So I'm here to tell you that if you understand polls like this one that J. Edward Griffin is using, this is all about democracy because it's about the percentage of people that agree. And as I just told you, it doesn't matter about the percentage of people in a republic. What matters is the percentage of the states, the people in those states, and how they perceive the problem and how they believe the problem can be solved. That is why, you know, these whole polls are very deceptive, and they also help reinforce this democracy paradigm. We have to get away from that. There are very few polls, and I don't think there is one poll that is accurately done to actually present information that is based upon the republic. Because the sentiment of one state and the percentage of people in that one state does not make the percentage of people throughout the republic. So it is only 1/50th. Right? So as they try to present this data, they present it in a democracy form instead of something that translates to our hybrid Republican form of government. That's why I've always got problems with polls. More importantly, I believe Iran is an evil player. I don't trust Iran. I don't trust North Korea. I don't believe that these rogue states for China, because that's what they are, they're rogue states for China and Russia. They're just out there deliberately testing the waters, and Russia doesn't care because none of their people are going to get killed. And Russia's been doing this for a long time, since the Yalta Conference, when they made the agreement with FDR and Churchill to, you know, to help subsidize warfare in a lot of different states, North Korea and Vietnam being two. Anyway, let me just kind of move on a little bit here. If you haven't heard, and I've talked about this, that Disney is going to be boycotting Hollywood, and all these entertainers and so forth are boycotting Georgia. Well, guess what? On the heels of the boycott, Clint Eastwood is going into Georgia despite of the abortion bill boycott, and they are going to do a movie about Richard Jewell. Richard Jewell is the police officer and security guard who discovered a bomb at the 96 Summer Olympics, if you remember, and that was a bomb scare, you know, that was targeting Planned Parenthood or an abortion clinic, remember? And or the intent behind it was. And he saved countless lives. And so, you know, I hope there's other conservative directors and other people willing to go into Georgia to literally deflate this huge posturing that Disney is trying to do in shutting down the industry there. Another thing that you may find interesting, and this may be an indictment on what we believe is going to happen in the upcoming election. If you don't know who Tiffany Caban is, you need to, because she just made an unthinkable move. She actually was successful in winning the Democratic nomination. And, well, let me see. She's a 31-year-old public defender who identifies as queer Latina. Okay, she's right out in front of you here. And she's claimed victory in the Democratic Party for the Queens District Attorney, further shaking up the political makeup of the borough that just a year ago saw Alexander, or Oso the Communist, that's what I like calling her, Oso the Communist, upset an entrenched congressional incumbent in Joe Crowley. So with that, I honestly don't think that, at least on the deep blue cities, you're going to see communists coming out more and more and more and more hardcore leftist, really evil, repugnant people that are going to be running for office that are going to start getting elected. Now, J. Edward Griffin also points out that the acting Homeland Security Secretary, Kevin McLean, has been accused of sabotage by current and former senior Trump administration officials for allegedly leaking a plan by the White House for immigration and customs enforcement to arrest thousands of migrant families who have been denied asylum in the 10 major cities that they're going to be performing these, what do you want to call them, raids or what have you, to go and enforce the immigration laws. So I find it interesting. And this isn't the first thing. I mean, who was it? I think it was the mayor of San Francisco that said that she was going to actually out whatever the federal government's plans were because she had a right to know as a public leader what they were going to do. And then she would let everybody know, okay, they're going to be coming. This is where they're focusing and literally trying to undermine their attempts in doing that. Now, I'm going to go on a little tirade that I always go on. The Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, guarantees that the states will be Republican in form of government. In other words, it guarantees the type of government we're supposed to have, but it also guarantees that they will protect us from an invasion. The federal government has the responsibility in protecting us. The 14th Amendment, clearly in Section 3, has the teeth to actually go after people who want to have a rebellion against the Constitution and support enemies of the Constitution in providing them aid and comfort. What that mayor in any sanctuary city, sanctuary state is doing is they're violating the Constitution, which means they are giving aid and comfort to those who are violating the Constitution by not supporting the federal government in trying to enforce its laws. And therefore, the teeth of Section 3 means that these politicians should be removed from office and banned for life. That's what has to happen. That's what the Constitution says. We're guaranteed, and Trump is trying to protect us. So every congressperson that voted, you know, against Trump's wall, against trying to fight this invasion, is culpable in giving aid and comfort to the enemies of the Constitution who are deliberately trying to undermine it and underrun our government. Therefore, these congresspeople, senators and representatives alike, should be banned. They should be removed from office and banned for life per Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. I can't harp on this enough. We have the teeth in the Constitution to force these things. Doggone it, let's start doing it. Okay? If we don't start doing it, then people have been getting away with murder, literally. Look at the Clintons. Oh, well, they don't call it murder. They call it arcanicide, right? Anyway, there's also in the news the former Interpol chief in China, Meng Hongwei, confessed to taking bribes on Business Standard, former Interpol chief Meng Hongwei, during a trial on Thursday, pleaded guilty to accepting bribes of $2 million. And so the problem is that they're actually going after this guy for taking bribes, but they're not going after anybody for killing political prisoners and harvesting their organs. Are you kidding me? So taking people as political prisoners, putting them throughout the countryside, 300 plus million political prisoners, and harvesting their organs is a legitimate thing to do. But this guy taking $2 million in bribes because he was in a position, you know, corruption. Oh, well, that's bad. That's how evil China is. They're giving you this facade that, oh, they believe in holding up the law. There was a reason why they let this guy walk the plank. Probably because he upset the Communist Chinese Party, because they would not hang a real contributor and a loyalist. So there was something else going on why this guy is going down, and he's going to be doing time for taking $2 million in bribes. I don't know if you heard about this, but this is just a side note, that they're finding that there's these skull bumps that are actually starting to come out from kids that are using, this kind of like science fiction thing, but they're finding that kids are growing horn-like structures in their skulls due to smartphone use. Another reason why we need to start disconnecting from those types of devices. You do not need to have a computer with you 24/7. It is pathetic that people have to live by that type of standard. Oh, I'm so much more productive. Actually, you're not. Actually, you're not, because it drains you more and more, and you don't get it. You need to shut down. You need to be able to disengage. You need to be able to rest and depart from constant work, constant work. I'm telling you, you are going to burn yourself out, and you're going to find yourself in an early grave if you continue doing those things. One last note, there's a lot of more stuff I want to go through, and we'll get into it tomorrow. But one last note, I thank you, India, for manning up and sending some Navy vessels into the Persian Gulf and into the Gulf of Oman to help provide security for the commerce that is going through there. Because the reason why we have a global naval fleet is to ensure that our commerce can flow without problems, without a hitch. And so that is a constitutional responsibility. It went all the way back to Jefferson in sending the Marines to Tripoli. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.